are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
Yo, what's happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, October the 11th, and John Beilein comes back to Michigan tonight. This is your boy, Matt Shook, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA. For the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Bear with your boy, pretty tired today. Been a long week out at Lions, working on another story for the weekend leading into the Lions-Packers games as well. Good times indeed, but at the same time, pretty fried. So we got a little overlap with the Lions season that you guys know I put a lot of time into for the Detroit News as a writer for them. And trying to get the NBA season off the board as well, trying to get things started here. So appreciate you guys and your patience, but we're doing our best. I want to get 4 or 5 episodes out a week. The goal, as always, to get them out first thing in the morning. Actually, I set it so they go up in the middle of the night so that some of our friends in other places around the world can get them as soon as possible. But then our Eastern time zone folks can get them when they roll out of bed in the morning on their commutes to work as well. But today we're going to talk about Friday's John Beilein return to Little Caesars Arena to Michigan with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm also going to bring up an important upcoming date next week that's a really crucial one for the Pistons and why you need to keep an eye on any transactions that might happen before that time. We're also going to talk about the newest metric that I found on the internet from one of my favorite sites and how it does the Pistons dirty, as I expected it would. And later on, I'm going to play my season preview, about 6 minutes, answering some prompts from the Locked On Podcast Network about the Pistons for the Locked On NBA podcast. The season previews we're putting together that they're going to run, I believe, sometime next week. So you can kind of see where I'm at. Take my temperature with this team right now, putting my predictions, my thoughts on wax, just so you know exactly what I'm thinking about the Detroit Pistons coming into the season. And I'm looking for yours, too. So what are your thoughts? Give us a call on the Google voicemail line. We'll play some of those next week, 810-666-1546. Again, that's 810-666-1546. Give that a call. Leave a voicemail, leave your name, tell us where you live, and tell us what you think about the Pistons. Bold predictions, unbold predictions, if you want to say 41-41, eighth seed, swept by the Bucks one more time. That would pretty much be the median, I would think. I'm sure as Pistons fans, that all you listeners pretty much are, and myself as well, we kind of skew a little bit towards the positive end. So I would imagine that most of you think the Pistons are a little bit over a 500 team and could possibly make some noise, maybe win a game in the playoffs. So wondering what you guys think. Is there even a more optimistic viewpoint out there? Do you guys think this could be a second round team? Is there anyone who's really willing to go out on that limb right now? Or is there someone who says, man, this team's trash, Blake's going to blow out his knee, and this team's going to win 30 games or something like that, 25 games even. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. Check us out also on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. But we know the Pistons, 1-1 on the week in the preseason schedule. Today is the midpoint of the preseason with the 3rd of 5 games coming at home against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Pistons lost to Orlando on Monday and then beat the Dallas Mavericks on Wednesday. So tonight, 7 o'clock, Little Caesars Arena, the final preseason home game. The Central Division rivals, Cleveland Cavaliers, in town. The Cavs have not played since Monday, kind of a wonky preseason schedule for everyone. They played San Lorenzo, a team down in Argentina. And, man, I'm looking at this box score. Obviously, didn't watch this game. You couldn't pay me enough to watch this game. Actually, there probably is a number that you could pay me, and I would sit down and watch the Cavs take on San Lorenzo of Argentina. But look at the box score. I like that John Beilein played guys pretty much 20 minutes or under, other than Tristan Thompson got 26 minutes. Maybe he's trying to play him into shape. But I would say outside of the obvious John Beilein storyline, the former Michigan Wolverines coach who surprised the basketball world by jumping ship and going to the Cavs, although Pistons fans maybe weren't as surprised as everyone else, because Beilein was flirting with the Pistons' job in the prior offseason before Dwayne Casey was hired by Tom Gores. But outside of the obvious John Beilein storyline, and we'll talk about John a little bit more during the regular season. It's still the preseason, so we can't use up all of our regular season storylines as we kind of move along here. But I would say that the biggest storyline on the court with the Cavs and the Pistons is Kevin Porter Jr., a player who was in play for the Pistons with the last pick of the first round, which they acquired leading up to the draft from the Milwaukee Bucks. And the Pistons could have had Kevin Porter Jr. It was a player that was rumored to go to the Pistons with the 15th pick. Early on in the process, it seemed pretty clear that he was going to be falling further than 15, but he's a guy that the Pistons decided to trade that pick instead, replenish the stock of second-rounders, and John Beilein in Cleveland picked him instead. And Kevin Porter Jr. couldn't be more early, couldn't be more irresponsible to draw conclusions from the first preseason game of the year, especially against a team from Argentina. But Kevin Porter was very impressive at 16 points in 14 minutes against that team. And, yeah, we'll obviously keep an eye on him because the Pistons could have had him, and I know there's Pistons fans out there that lamented that move and really wanted Kevin Porter Jr. as a very talented but also kind of troubled rookie coming into the league that could have been a difference maker and could be a difference maker in this league, especially for a team like the Cavs who are going to be super patient with all their players going forward. Kind of analyzing the box score as well, there's a guy on the Cavaliers named D. Wade that came off the bench. Don't be like me. Don't be an idiot and look at the box score and do a double take and say, it's not a Dwayne Wade comeback that you didn't hear about. It's Dean Wade from Kansas State, a white dude, not Dwayne Wade. So don't be like me and get confused on that one. But the most interesting roster situation, maybe other than Kevin Porter Jr., if you're really excited about him, but Darius Garland is a rookie that was picked early by the Cleveland Cavaliers. On the surface, to me, with Colin Sexton on the roster, this made zero sense, but I love it for some reason. I just love going against the conventional wisdom. And maybe there's not enough about Darius Garland and or Colin Sexton because I obviously don't study the Cavaliers very closely. But on the surface, to me, it seems like we're the Cavs. We're coming into this draft. We're kind of stockpiling talent. All we've got, talent-wise, right now, going into this, other than Kevin Love, who probably isn't long for the Cavs and certainly won't be part of any kind of next generation of Cleveland Cavaliers winning basketball, we've got one shoot-first young point guard who's undersized and can't really play defense in Colin Sexton. So we've got another top-five pick coming into this year. Hey, let's take another shoot-first point guard who's undersized and can't really play defense. And on top of that, had a devastating knee injury in his only year of college, played like 5 minutes of college basketball. Makes zero sense on the surface, but I'm here for those kind of moves, as the kids would say. So I'm really excited to talk to Chris Manning of Locked On Cavaliers next week as we kind of roll through our Central Division previews and talk to some of those guys about the teams coming into this year and hear what Chris Manning has to say about that draft pick. But for the Pistons, after tonight, Tuesday at Philly, and then the second half of a back-to-back Wednesday at Charlotte, as they will close the preseason then and the regular season coming up Wednesday, October 23rd. That'll be at Indiana, and then Thursday with the home opener the night after that, October 24th, against the Atlanta Hawks. But Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 off your total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering Locked On at checkout. Again, that's Indochino, Indochino.com, and enter promo code Locked On, LOCKEDON, at checkout. Up next, we're going to talk about an important date coming up for the Pistons next week, and then also the newest metric that's out there on the internet that we're going to be talking about a lot this year on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
A little bit later on, I'm going to play you the audio, about 6 minutes of me giving my thoughts about the Pistons for the Locked On NBA preview show, some prompts that they gave us, and I tried to be succinctly and correctly nail those as well as I could, so I'll play that one for you guys a little bit later. But important date coming up next week for the Pistons. That's Tuesday, October 15th, and according to HoopsHype.com, Christian Wood is due an $823,000 guarantee if he's still on the roster that day by the Detroit Pistons. Obviously, he's played his way, no doubt, to finish training camp. Even if he is a potential guy who could get cut at the end of training camp, it would be kind of absurd for the Pistons to trade him or I'm sorry, to cut him before he even gets a chance to prove himself. And $823,000 in the NBA world, obviously that's not a lot of money to you and I believe it is. I would take $823K right now if you offered it to me. But the reason that I think that's kind of important is you have to start making some real financial decisions on Christian Wood starting with next week. So if they believe that they've already had their mind made up despite what they're seeing with their own eyes about him not making the 15-man roster, I guess that there's a remote chance that he could get cut before Tuesday, October 15th. Again, I don't think this is going to happen. And I think that it's more likely that instead of paying that roster bonus, that the Pistons, if they have any ideas of keeping Joe Johnson and cutting Christian Wood instead, that maybe they use the first two preseason games and possibly whatever Christian Wood does tonight in the third preseason game against Cleveland, and hopes that other teams are checking out some tape on that. Maybe Ed Stefanski is sending some tape out to other teams that are looking for some a young possible backup center, someone that could develop, and could be looking to trade him, possibly a deal that Christian Wood could be dealt, and possibly Pistons recover some assets in that deal. So it makes their decisions, their 15-man roster, a more palatable decision. Now, again, I don't expect that to happen either, and I don't recommend that that should happen. I think they should hold on to Christian Wood. They should pay that $823,000 guarantee and probably just cut Joe Johnson at this point going into the season. Or if anything short of that, possibly look into trading a player like Kyrie Thomas, who might not get the run for them, might not get the chance for them even in this upcoming season. Secure an asset for him if it's possible. But yeah, they need to make a tough decision on this 15-man roster sometime soon. And like I said, Joe Johnson is probably going to end up being the casualty on that one. That would be my vote. But certainly Ed Stefanski might be starting to explore some options this weekend leading up to that Tuesday, October 15th deadline. But we talked about an exciting metric out there. You guys know if you listen to the show that I'm a fan of 538.com, the ESPN microsite started by Nate Silver, who kind of gained his fame in election forecasting through the New York Times, and then ESPN gave him the keys to 538.com. They use the Carmelo projections to kind of make the projections of where teams are going to end up, the chances of making the playoffs, all those kind of things that we reference quite a bit here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But I was listening to one of the 538 podcasts recently where Nate Silver and Neil Payne talked about a new metric that they came up with, and they called it Raptor. The reason that it's called Raptor is it's an acronym for, and let me pull it up here for you guys, Robust Algorithm Player Tracking On-Off Ratings. And that's 538's new NBA statistic. Obviously, a little bit of a joke there that they kind of come up with the word and then find a complicated formula to back that up. But as I was listening to Nate Silver and Neil Payne break down the new stat Raptor and kind of some of the things that make it up and things that kind of make it happen, they were using a lot of BPM and RPM for the Carmelo metric. So they've came up with their own metric that they kind of plug into these projections for the season. Nate Silver admitted that it likes wings and point guards, and that's something that they believe is valued by front offices across the league. Certainly an indisputable point that it's valued, but don't know how that quite makes sense for how teams will win and teams that their seasons should be projected. But I digress. They also give credence to where baskets created. Heavily assisted field goals help out teams and players in terms of their plus-minus ratings, which is ultimately the metrics they come up with when they plug those into the team formulas to figure out how good and how effective a team will be throughout the course of an 82-game season. They also have breakdowns for players in the playoffs for their performances as well. So LeBron James will be weighted very, not as good in the regular season as he is in the playoffs when he's proven to be someone who raises his game, especially defensively, come springtime. Nate Silver figures that they came up with a better defensive stat than what they were using with the BPM and RPM, box plus minus and real plus minus that they had for the Carmelo one. Weighting things like near field goal percentage, how was the player that they were guarding shooting the ball, or the player that they were most near shooting the ball. Opponent stats versus you individually. Did your opponent put up a lot of points, rebounds, assists, and other stats as well? And they also gave positive points as they set up their formula to how many miles you travel throughout the course of a game. We know that these are all publicly available stats that are out there, whether through NBA.com or other places. They kind of cherry pick some of these stats, threw their own formula together, and we all know that defensive advanced stats is something that has certainly not been mastered by anybody. I would go ahead and stretch and say that it's not been mastered by anybody out there, but especially in the public sphere. I think the teams probably have their better defensive stats. That's proprietary information. But as far as things that even analytics people that are writers and journalists, the stats that are used, in my opinion, are near garbage. They're not very good. And to find the right ones, to weight it as far as how you can decide how good of a defensive player certain guys are in the league. Very difficult, but Nate Silver and 538.com decided to grab some of those stats to put their defensive ones together. Also, worth noting that these are fluid defensive stats that could change throughout the season. So certain guys will move throughout the season, and that will change the projections. Some other things that were notable about the Raptor and some of the discussion that I listened to on this podcast with Neil Payne and Nate Silver, and I recommend checking it out. They talked about three-point defense being kind of lucky. So obviously, Dwayne Casey and the Pistons, we talked about their three-point defense being pretty good and very good at times throughout the course of last season. Will that be repeatable? If you listen to Nate Silver and those guys, it sounds like they believe that that's kind of a random metric. And while certainly there is a narrative in place that the Pistons ran people off the three-point line and tried to force them into two-point shots, Nate Silver and those guys kind of surmised that a little bit of that is a little bit of luck. And Nate Silver in the discussion talked a little bit of crap about on-off data, which is something I kind of believe in. I think there's a lot of times that people put a little bit too much credence into on-off data sometimes. And also, he made a point in referencing that this stat doesn't like pick-and-roll bigs. So it's kind of really, in some ways, prejudice against wings. Or I'm sorry, against big men in general, especially guys that are kind of those rim runners, pick-and-roll bigs. And we know a couple of those that play for the Pistons. And so we figured that this stat would be a little bit biased against the Pistons. And I think if you read between the lines, you could kind of already see where this is going. So they came out with the metrics. They publicly released them. And the new NBA projections for 538.com have the Pistons at a 36-46 clip this season, 10 games under 500 and outside of the playoffs. Not only that, but he goes to the Eastern Conference right now, the Bucks, the 76ers, the Celtics, the Raptors at number 4, the Pacers, the Heat, and the Magic at number 7, and then the Brooklyn Nets getting the 8th spot in the Eastern Conference playoffs at 38-44. But not only that, the Pistons were not 9th. They were 10th. The Pistons were below the Chicago Bulls. Once again, play the siren for the Chicago Bulls being better than the Pistons. I remember Matt Peck of Locked On Bulls came on the show and said that the Bulls would finish ahead of the Pistons in the Central Division. I'm excited to ask him about that prediction and see what he thinks about this year coming up with the Bulls and the Pistons. But 538.com saying the Bulls 37-45, Pistons at 36-46, 10th in the Eastern Conference, 2 spots out of the playoff race. Tied at 36-46, not with another Eastern Conference team, but a team out west, the Phoenix freaking Suns. That the Raptor projection of the 538.com has the Pistons right in line with the Phoenix Suns. Furthermore, saying that the Pistons have a 44% chance of making the playoffs, not so good. According to the Carmelo forecast that they had previously, the Pistons were a 39-43 team, still outside the playoffs, but with a little better win-loss record and a little better chance of making the playoffs at 49%. And another metric I wanted to pass along, prediction-wise, Tankathon.com has the Pistons also at 9th place, just outside of the Eastern Conference playoffs. So Detroit versus everybody, fire up the disrespect machine, everyone hates the Pistons, all that good stuff, and there's your numerical data on that. But coming up, I've got my recording of the Pistons preview. We're going to wash our palate of those projections, and I'm going to tell you what I think about how this Pistons season is going to shake out. I've got some prompts that the Locked On NBA podcast folks asked of us, and that'll close the show. So we won't do a kind of a similar and familiar close to the show. So I'll just say thanks for listening now, and to listen to that end of the show recording that I'll play after this break here, and appreciate you guys, and we will talk to you guys next week recap that game with the Cleveland Cavaliers, look ahead to the end of the preseason. And up next is the Pistons preview that I recorded for the Locked On NBA show. That's up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. What's happening, sports fans? This is Matt Shook of the Locked On Pistons podcast with the preview you've all been waiting for, the Detroit Pistons, mired in mediocrity. I think that's the slogan for the season. Maybe that's why season ticket sales haven't been so brisk. But the biggest storylines coming into the season for Detroit is the Andre Drummond contract situation. Drummond has a player option for the 2020-2021 season this coming summer, which he has indicated that he will decline and hit free agency when not many of the top players are going to next summer. The October 21st deadline is approaching to get the extension done for the full designated veteran extension, but the Pistons seem to not want to offer Drummond a max, so there's a bit of a chess game ensuing from now until then. But after that, the Pistons could have Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson on contract years with the elusive cap flexibility coming next summer, or with an extension signed by October 21st, the Pistons will be led into the foreseeable future by Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond. Another storyline is the improvement of the second unit in the offseason. Tony Snell takes over the Reggie Bullock, Wayne Ellington role in the starting lineup, an upgrade there. But the Pistons made real strides with limited resources in the offseason for the bench, signing Derrick Rose and Markieff Morris, and adding them to the Luke Kennards and Sfi Mikhailiuks of the world, making a bench that should be an upgrade over the Ish Smith, Zaza Pachulia, Glenn Robinson third group that fizzled too many times in the second quarter last season. The best case scenario for the Pistons is that Derrick Rose and Luke Kennard gel in the second unit and replace Bruce Brown and Tony Snell at crunch time with those guys teaming with Reggie, Blake, and Andre for a formidable fourth quarter team down the stretch that wins a lot of close games at winning time this season. Also, for that to happen, Luke Kennard needs to take another step forward as a consistent scorer and playmaker for Coach Dwayne Casey. The worst case scenario for the Pistons is if Andre Drummond is dismayed by the lack of extension that offer that he gets for the max before the season starts. Blake Griffin ages like he was expected to by many last season before he had a fantastic year in his first full one as a Piston. And there's not enough players on this team with the requisite defensive talent to keep up last season's above-average levels on that front for Casey. That would be the worst-case scenario for this team. As far as style differences coming into this year, we've seen evidence that Andre Drummond might be out away from the basket at times, like he did in the final season under Stan Van Gundy, meaning that Drummond's assist numbers might go back toward the higher levels from 2 years ago as opposed to where he was at last season. Of course, the catch-22 is that he needs to be close to the basket to take advantage of his superior rebounding, and there's always a chance that he gets a ball at the perimeter and jacks up a three ball, which could break the Pistons' backboard or the rim at Little Caesars Arena, which would add undue costs to owner Tom Gores' bottom line. A player that you might be thinking differently of at the end of the season is Reggie Jackson. He was better than you think last year, especially as the season went on. He got healthy after a few years of injuries and captured some of that 2016 magic, which had him playing a lot better than you remember, the peak season of his career. He's going for one more contract this year as he's approaching unrestricted free agency, and he should be expected to raise his game back to being something like an average starting point guard in the league. Luke Kennard is a guy whose career could go up to another level this season. He'll run with the second unit with Rose and also get crunch time minutes with guys like Andre, Blake, and Reggie. Is he a guy who can turn himself into a top 100 player in this league, maybe even a top 75 player as time goes on, or is he just a fringe starter? We'll see, but he has a chance to make that kind of leap this season with his variety of skills and offensive creativity. As far as rookies with impact, there will not be any for the Pistons this season. Sekou Doumbouya was the 15th pick of the draft out of France, but he's an absolute project. He's the youngest player in the NBA and won't be 19 until 2 days before Christmas. He's younger than a lot of college freshmen. He's a guy that won't make an impact on the NBA court until next season at the absolute earliest, and probably another season after that. I think the Pistons will move up in the Eastern Conference pecking order from last season's eighth seed all the way up that large climb to number 7. Yes, I think the Pistons move up one spot in the Eastern Conference playoff order, get up to over 500 as opposed to last season's 41-41 season, maybe get 43 or 44 wins. So take the over on their totals, which have them finishing under 500, and hope that Blake Griffin doesn't get hurt when you put your money down on that one. A couple of predictions for this season. I say that the Pistons will get off to a hot start for the third straight season. You'll see some "Are the Pistons back?" type of stories in early December because of a favorable early schedule, cohesiveness with the core and coaching staff from last season, and relative health as the season opens up. My second prediction, and this is a bold one, the Pistons will win their first playoff game, not series, but they're going to win their first playoff game since 2008. That's 11 years ago and will be 12 years ago by the time the playoffs come around. My God, that is a long time, and you can tell Detroit sports fans are ready for just a hint of winning from their four major sports teams, which have been so disappointing for the last decade or so. I'm not predicting the Pistons win a playoff series, but with the 6 or 7 seed, they can hopefully avoid Milwaukee in the first round and win a home playoff game at Little Caesars Arena. We'll see if all this stuff comes to fruition, but that'll do it for me, Matt Shook, from the Locked On Pistons podcast. Thanks for listening. Good luck to your team this season.